Once you've got more money than you know what to do with, wouldn't you want all the time in the world? Billionaires are now funding a race against time itself. Currently, a $101 million prize is on the table for the entrepreneur who can create an elixir of youth. So as the rich list line up at the fountain of eternal life, how are those without $1 billion in the bank trying to cash in on this new medical frontier? And when is trying to stop the clock on aging taking it too far? How can we appreciate age and the good things it brings, wisdom and understanding? Well, in a moment, you'll hear from a clinical psychologist who says our obsession with aging is rooted in our fear of dying. But first, let's take a look at this new world of anti-aging technology. Dr. Lindsay Wu is a senior research fellow with the Laboratory for Aging Research at the University of New South Wales. Lindsay, welcome to Life Matters.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
So what's this $101 million anti-aging competition all about?
Yeah, so this was set up by the XPRIZE Foundation, and essentially it's awarding $101 million to whoever can show that they can extend health span and ideally lifespan in humans. We've got lots of interventions that extend lifespan in lab rats or lab mice and other animal species, but of course translating that into humans is a lot more difficult, and that's what this prize is about.
It's very hard to measure a really big increase in lifespan in humans because the experiments take forever.
Yeah, by definition, it's the longest and most expensive clinical trial you could ever run. And so, you know, this is why we're having to rely on these, you know, proximal markers for aging itself. And this has really been an issue for the field.
So the competition's being backed financially by the founder of the athleisure brand Lululemon and a foundation called the Hevolution Foundation, which, full disclosure, you have actually received funding from. Why are these brands and foundations in this space?
So I can't speak for the motivation of the Lululemon founder other than I thank him for funding research in the field. Hevolution is a Saudi-backed philanthropic and commercial organization that's investing in technologies and drug therapies to extend lifespan. And, you know, it's a fairly obvious motivation. If we can extend human lifespan, of course, everyone wants to live longer, but we could also treat a ton of age-related diseases at the same time. You know, the risk of every single disease that we have expands exponentially with old age. And so it's not just about, you know, this greedy obsession of living longer. It's a serious public health goal. This therapy that improves health span and attacks the biology of aging could go after a ton of age-related diseases and chronic diseases, I should say.
I do want to get into the public health side of this in a minute, but first, let's just get a bit of a sense of who's in the field, because the semi-finalists have been announced. What kind of ideas are they putting forward?
Yeah, there's all sorts of different technologies. You know, there are drug-based technologies, there's AI platforms, there are diagnostics. You know, my own research is mostly involved with drug-based interventions to try and extend lifespan. It does seem sort of science fiction that there could be drugs that we could take to extend lifespan, but, you know, there is decent evidence in animal models that there are certain drugs or formulations that can improve late life health and overall lifespan. You know, one of those drugs, for example, is currently used in the clinic as for transplant recipients.
Okay, that's really interesting. So you're listening to Life Matters on Radio National, and I'm Tegan Taylor. And I'm interested to know if you think we're too obsessed with staying young. Anne in Canberra says, I'm 43, which is by no means old. However, I would not swap myself now for my 20-year-old self. I'm loving the self-confidence, self-awareness and knowledge and experience I have now, even with the grey hair and wrinkles starting to appear. Another question from Stephen in Taz saying, do these aging treatments actually increase longevity or do they just make you look younger? Lindsay, let's talk about what the aim is here, because there's some fine print with this study or with this funding stream. The winner's treatment must restore muscle, cognitive and immune function for a minimum of 20 years, for a minimum of 10 years with a goal of 20 years. What are the focus points of the kind of anti-aging that you're going for?
Yeah, I mean, as we discussed earlier, the trial to run measure human lifespan is very difficult, right? So we have to rely on these nearest term goals. So we know that as old people get older, they lose their muscle strength, and that is really important for their quality of life later on. You know, it causes people to fall over and break their hips. So that's why there's a goal of maintaining muscle strength. We also know that, for example, older people don't respond as well to vaccines and they're at higher risk of, you know, respiratory diseases or respiratory infections. And so that's why this prize, this foundation, is measuring some of those proximal things that occur as we grow older. One of the other things they're measuring is the changes in the patterns of how our DNA is turned on and off, something called DNA methylation or epigenetics. There is sort of this epigenetic clock inside our DNA that ticks as we grow older, and that clock can go faster or slower in certain people. So that's what this foundation is sort of using as its benchmark for success.
I do want to talk about the equity side of things. So a lot of the focus in this area is around billionaires who are, you know, injecting themselves with young people's plasma and stuff like that. It's a very rarefied space. Those sorts of things might extend the life of one or two very, very rich people, but there's still millions, billions of people worldwide who don't have access to basic medical care. How do we ensure that this conversation includes an equity lens?
So the good news is that a lot of the, you know, the interventions that we know are good for late life health are very cheap. So, you know, having a balanced diet, getting lots of exercise, in particular resistance training in older people, is really important, and it's quite cheap to do. You know, we see things like cryogenic therapy where people buy these extremely expensive tanks to try and cool down their body and refresh themselves and live longer. But, you know, you can achieve the same result by having a cold shower or going for a swim. In terms of the drugs that are being developed, you know, the most promising drug candidates are generic compounds that are quite cheap. They're already used in the clinic. What we're lacking is a clinical trial data to say that they will work in humans. But, you know, once we have that data, those drugs are off patent and they're relatively cheap. So that could be a really promising way to, you know, to democratize or ensure that we have widespread access to these interventions.
Yeah, part of the problem with having the evidence is that doing the research to yield the evidence does cost money. Lindsay Wu, thank you so much for joining me.
No worries.
You're listening to Life Matters on Radio National. We're talking about the obsession with staying young, living forever. I'd love to know if you've done anything to try to live longer. Peter says, life extension is a rich world indulgent when such a high proportion of the world dies young. Kim says, isn't it about living well for longer? No one wants to live forever if they feel like the traditional 200-year-old. But if I can live without being dependent on medication and carers, yes, please. I like being alive. So let's get into what it is with this human obsession to live longer. It's certainly not a new concept. We've literally been talking about it for millennia. Rachel Menzies is a clinical psychologist and director of the Menzies Anxiety Centre and is author of the book Mortals, How the Fear of Death Shaped Modern Society. Rachel, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, Tegan. Thanks for having me on.
So you've been looking at extreme cases of anti-aging. The current poster boy of this world is Brian Johnson. I think if you know who he is, you really, really know. But for those of us who perhaps aren't so familiar, what's his deal?
So Brian Johnson is a tech billionaire who has made it his life mission essentially to prevent and eliminate death. He undergoes various bizarre and experimental procedures, including things he used to inject his son's blood into him in a method of plasma transfusion. He takes about 100 supplements a day. He fasts for 18 hours a day. And his motto is don't die. So he's made the goal of his life pretty clear. And I think this reflects a broader societal problem with actually accepting death as a natural part of life.
Someone says, I'm 80, but not the stereotype. I don't look or feel 80. I'd like to think I have a much longer lifespan ahead, but let's face facts. We're greatly threatened by existential threat to our long-term future through this total ignoring of our ever-increasing heating planet. Would be more beneficial if these billionaires contributed to reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Jack says, the best thing about getting old is that I have accepted I'm going to die and I'm not scared of dying. Well, Rachel, being scared of dying is a really big part of your practice. How do you sort of deal with people who are afraid of death?
So at the Menzies Anxiety Centre, that's really our big focus. We focus on helping people cultivate greater acceptance of death and living a life that they feel is more meaningful. Part of that therapy involves evidence-based treatments such as cognitive behaviour therapy to help get people facing reminders of death, engaging with the topic of death and mortality, rather than doing what humans typically do when it comes to things which make us anxious, which is avoid. Most people want to avoid thinking about death, avoid facing it, and we know that this actually makes anxiety about it worse.
What do you think this fear says about society more broadly?
I think this fear really reflects our desire to control and postpone the inevitable. I think all of us feel that we are unique individuals whose lives should be important and significant, and it's really hard then to face death. It seems like death is unfair, or it just shouldn't happen. I think it's very difficult for us to accept that we are mortal beings, that we are animals, and that we are destined to die.
On the text line, one person says, my father-in-law is one of the X Prize finalists. He uses exosomes, which are cellular messengers, and is based in Mudgee in New South Wales. As a finalist, he's received $250,000 to develop the concept. Well, congratulations there. I'd love to come back to Lindsay. The fear of dying is a reason to try and stop the clock. Can we reset on some of the boring things that we know are linked with a long and healthy life?
Yeah, so we know there are various things we can do to live a long and healthy life. And of course, things like regular exercise, healthy diet, good sleep, all of these are cornerstones of physical health and, of course, mental health. But I think we get ourselves into a bit of trouble when we're focusing a lot of effort on living longer and not as much effort or energy in living a more peaceful, wiser life with better psychological well-being.
Rachel, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Rachel Menzies is a lecturer at the University of Sydney and director of the Menzies Anxiety Centre. You also heard from Dr. Lindsay Wu, who's a senior research fellow with the Laboratory for Ageing Research at the University of New South Wales. And on the text line, Peter says, I've always eaten wholesome foods, that is, no processed foods, educated myself in all aspects of my life to reduce my stress levels, and most of all, being independent. Another person says, I love getting old. I love it. Finally, old and brave enough to sit on the back of a motorbike while touring around Iceland. It took my breath away. So different, so in touch with the world.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.